Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's find the book of Proverbs again, chapter 3. We were there Sunday morning talking about, we're on a series, just a short series, on trusting in the Lord. Tonight, I want to talk about this, and you'll understand what I'm talking about here in just a little bit. I want to talk about staying on God's side. And, you know, we'll talk about what that means, but let's go here to Proverbs chapter 3. Are we ready? Yes. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding," or your head, "in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Let me know, you don't have to have everything figured out. You know what I'm saying? To trust God, you don't have to know everything about it. And you know, some things, you may not figure out. You just trust God, amen? And so I want to talk to you about this tonight a little bit. We're not going to preach long here tonight, I don't think. But just about, you know, staying on God's side. Staying on God's side. Stay on His side. How many know His is the good side to be on? I'm on God's side. How about you? Well, you know, people say, I want to believe what God said. I'm going to stay on His side. Whatever He says about it is right. Amen? Amen. And, you know, sometimes the Word will adjust your life, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes it'll correct you, won't it? And if it doesn't, I don't think you're hearing the Word, all of it. You know, sometimes we want to hear our favorite word. But, I mean, you know, sometimes God's got something besides our favorite word. Amen. And sometimes he'll correct you, and because He loves you, right? And He wants things to go good for you. Amen. God's always got your best interest in mind. Hallelujah. I don't know that you can say that about everybody, but you can say that about God. Amen. He's always got your best interest in mind. Hallelujah. Now, so, you know, He said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding," how you got it figured out, or maybe don't have it figured out. It doesn't really matter if you're trusting God. He's got it figured out. And there's things I've said before prophetically that, you know, I'm thinking, I'd like to have that back, because, you know what I'm saying, because I want it to be right. And then, you know, it turns out it came out the way God said it, you know. Amen. And, you know, I remember one time I was preaching in another city in this meeting, and I'm going down this line, and I'm just praying for people. And I get to this one woman, and I said to her, before I even had a chance to grab it back, I said to her, "Somebody's getting saved in your family this week." Well, I don't know why God would want to tell somebody that, you know, unless He just wants to. Maybe she needed to hear that. I don't know. You never know, right? You know, I mean, I've had things said to me before, and it's like, you know, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. And so, you know, I went my way. It wasn't my, that wasn't where I lived. And so I went my way, and I'm not kidding. I think it was somewhere around a year later, I was in this restaurant, and I'm sitting there with a friend of mine, and we're eating lunch, and she walks in the door, and that prophecy came back to my mind. Because, you know, that isn't like God one of these days is going to do something. This is either on or it ain't. How many of you got what I'm saying? And I thought, you know how your carnal mind will go? My mind starts saying, I hope she doesn't see me. And she saw me. And then I thought, I hope she doesn't come over to this table. I hope she doesn't come over. And she came over to the table. I hope she doesn't remember that prophecy. And she remembered that prophecy. She said, "Do you remember that prophecy you give me about somebody was going to get saved in my family that week, the coming week?" And, you know, I couldn't lie. I said, "Yeah, I remember that." She said, "My brother in the Navy gave his life to Jesus that Thursday." I still don't know why God had to tell her that, but that's your own understanding. God knows, doesn't He? Amen. I've had people say things to me, you know, that they got by the Spirit of God. Amen. And you don't know why, you know, God says some things, but He's got a plan. Amen? All right, now look at Job. I'm going to look at about four scriptures tonight, maybe. Job chapter 15, because I want to talk to you about staying on God's side, and this will make sense here in just a minute. Job 15, go there. Job 13. Excuse me, Job 13. Go there, and we'll read one verse. You got it? All right, Job 13, verse 15, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, that's some strong trust. Though he slay me. Now, you know, I'll say this because it's real quiet right now. We know God's not going to slay Job, right? Right? But you know, Job didn't know that. All right? You have to understand this about Job. Job didn't have all the teaching we have. Job's one of the older characters in the Bible. He didn't have a revelation of the devil like we do. We can read the book of Job. How many know he couldn't read the book of Job? He was living the book of Job. You know, you could have said, well, Job, why didn't you read the book of Job? Because he's living the book of Job. And when we read the book of Job, the first and second chapters, it says Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job, not God. All right? Now, there's a lot of things we could teach on there, but that's not our purpose tonight. Job, you know, he doesn't know this. He thinks whatever good happens in your life, whatever bad happens in your life, that God's the author of it. And there are people that are still today like Job. They think God authors everything that comes along. And he doesn't. Have you ever been to a Christian bookstore and you see the coffee cup says, we know that all things work together for good. And people take that as a blanket statement, like everything that comes in your life, God's going to work it for good. Well, some of it's not from God, right? Some of it's from the devil, and it's not going to work for your good. You got to read the whole entire context. We know that everything the Spirit of, it's talking about the Spirit of God making intercession for us, and everything the Spirit of God does will work for your good for those that love God and are called according. See, there's some conditions here. Those that what? Love God. Number two, are called according to His purpose. What's His purpose? For whom He foreknew, He did predestine to be conformed into the image of His Son. This is talking about people that are letting the Spirit of God move in their life. Everything the Spirit of God's doing, it's for your good. Right? But that doesn't mean that all things, like, you know, like years ago, there was this teaching that went around, give God thanks for everything. Car wrecks, sickness, broken legs, everything. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. We're to give God thanks in the midst of everything, right? But not for everything. He's not the author of everything. Jesus went about to destroy the works of the devil. We don't thank God for the works of the devil. Now, I've heard people do it, and then, you know, God bless them. They'll say, well, I thank God I got sick. Because when I went to the hospital, you know, I was able to witness to the nurse, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Well, thank God God used you while you're there, but you could have walked in there well. I'm not saying God didn't use you. I'm not saying God didn't take the opportunity to use you, of course. But that doesn't mean He authored that or He planned that. Sometimes, you know, we had something to do with it. Amen. And so Job here says, though he slay me, yet I'm still going to trust him. That's a pretty high trust, isn't it? See, here's why I think Job deserves double honor. Because Job thought that God was doing this. And he still worshiped him. He still served him. Now, we know it's not God doing it. We know it's the devil. And sometimes people go through trials and they quit coming to church. Amen. They quit serving God. I think we could really learn some things from the book of Job, don't you? Yeah. Amen. You know, all right, we have a pretty anemic church sometimes. I'm not talking about ours, but I'm just talking about as a whole. We have a pretty anemic church that the least little bit of trouble, you know, and they're running for cover. They come in all beat down Sunday morning. What happened? Well, somebody didn't like me on Facebook. Whoa, woo, wow. Paul was thrown in prison, back beaten, bleeding, in stocks. I mean, read his testimony in 2 Corinthians 11, all the things that happened to him before you decide to complain about somebody not liking you on Facebook. Right? You talk about we're being persecuted and so forth. We're not even relatively close to the level of persecution that the Apostle Paul and some of them face. I mean, how would you like a prophetic word from the head of the church that says to you, someday somebody's going to take you someplace you don't want to go. Amen. And do things to you that you don't want to happen. And you're going to glorify God by your death. Oh, I rebuke that prophecy in the name of Jesus. Well, that came from the head of the church to Peter, signifying by what, how he was going to die to glorify God. Most of us aren't going to die martyrs. Don't misunderstand me. Don't get that on you. Sometimes I get, does anybody besides me get martyr mentality on them sometimes? What's that? Well, things start going wrong. It's like the whole world's against me. My gosh, had a flat tire. Toaster burn up. What's going on in my life? Well, what you need to do is pull your passy out and eat some meat. All right, moving right along. Praise God. It's good preaching tonight. I just want to let you know that in case you didn't know. How many know sometimes we have to be reminded that we've got it pretty good, right? So Job says, though he slay me. Now here's the thing. We know God wasn't doing this, but I'm just preaching the heart of Job. Are you all with me tonight? See, what is he saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying two things right here. God is always right. Whatever he does, it's right. And God is always good. Whatever he does, it's always good. I may not understand what's going on, but here's what I got. I got to stay on God's side. God's always right. God is always good. Have you ever thought you wanted something and then God kept you from receiving it? And then after that, you found out why? He had something better in mind. God never is withholding from you. Sometimes he has something better in mind than what your limited thinking is thinking. Amen. You think you want to marry that person, and God says, you don't want that person. Just telling you. I'm going to step in here and help you. Amen. See, some of the prayers, and I'm not talking about our redemption. We got our redemption, the things that Jesus died for. Those are all yes and amen. How many know that? Right? Your healing is yes and amen. God's not telling you, well, no, I don't want to heal you because I got a plan for you. No, his plan's already taken place. That's to heal you. Right? That's like saying, no, I don't want to save you. I got another plan for you. Well, what is it, hell? How many know? The same Jesus that paid for your sin paid for your healing, right? Same cross, right? So we're not talking about that, but there are things in our life sometimes that God knows a little bit more than we do about it. How many would just give God that much credit that he probably knows a little bit more about your life than you do? And so sometimes, we think, well, why didn't God let me have that? Well, because maybe he had something better. I've had people just leave the church because they didn't get a prayer answered. I mean, where's the spirit of faithfulness about you? Where's the spirit? I like the spirit about Job. If he slays me, in other words, that's just his attitude. Whatever God does, he does it right. He's doing it right, right? So here's Job's thinking. Job's thinking, if God is doing this to me, it's for a good reason. Listen, God, I've already said it, so you can quit being so doggone quiet. We know God didn't do it, right? But Job doesn't know that. So here's his trust. Whatever God does is right, right? Whatever he does is good. Amen? The psalmist said God is good. Amen? He's good all the time, right? Right? Every good thing comes down from the Father, right? Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? See, this whole thing about Job, the thing that the devil was after with Job was his faith. See, what did he say to God? He accused Job to God. How many of the Bible says in Revelation, he's still the accuser of the brethren. And he went before God, and the Lord said, what have you been doing? He said, I've been walking to and fro on the earth. Isn't that what Peter said? He walks as to and fro on the earth as a roaring lion? He's still doing the same thing today. And he said, the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him. And he said, Job doesn't serve you for no reason at all. You've blessed everything he's got. But you take that away from him, and he'll curse you to your face. Now, God didn't do it. Satan did it. But twice the devil told God about, he accused Job to God and said, if some things happen to him, he's going to curse you to his face. What was Satan after? He's after Job's faith in God. You have to understand this. The devil hates God. Right? He can't get to God. The devil's never been a problem with God, except for him messing with his children. But personally, he can't get to God. But the way he tries to get to God is to get God's children to throw off their faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God is pleased when we have faith. It pleases the heart of God. What about when we don't have faith? It hurts the heart of God. So what Satan tries to do is he tries to come after your faith. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, he said, Satan has desired to sift you that he may have you. Remember that? He's asked for you. He's wanting to sift you. And Jesus said to Peter, he said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. How many know Jesus probably knew what to pray about? So then he knew what the devil was after, right? What was the devil after? Peter's faith. The Bible calls our faith precious. It's precious to God that we believe in him. Amen. And that we believe him. Amen. And that's why the devil attacks, is to try to get you to give up on your faith. Because that's the only way, that's his twisted way of trying to get to God, is to get his children to give up on their faith in God. Amen. And I'm not just talking about, our faith for salvation. I'm talking about our faith for the promises. All of it. Is anybody with me tonight? See, Paul said it like this. He said, for we walk by, anybody know that scripture? We walk by faith and not by sight. The devil's job is to change that. He wants to change it where you walk by sight, not by faith. Because he knows if he can do that, he can keep you from pleasing God. Amen. So you got a dear friend here in town. I say this just not disrespectful, but I always call him the Bishop. Bishop. P.E. Carter. Prentice Earl Carter. And, pastors, Arena Faith Church. And he and I have been friends for probably close to 30 years now. 20-some anyway, heading for 30. And, we're dear to one another. We love one another. And I love the name of Pastor Carter's church, Arena of Faith, because that speaks volumes. If you stay in the arena of faith, you've got the devil beat. He's got to get you out of that arena, right, to beat you. Come on, are you with me? See, he's got to get you out of that arena. Amen? See, I don't care how good a tennis player you are. If we put you in the ring with a 55, 56, 60-year-old Mike Tyson, he may be 60 now, you're still in trouble. Because there's still enough left in the tank to whoop you. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? But see, if we take Mike Tyson and put him on your tennis courts, you're going to smoke him. Because that's not his arena. See, you got to stay in the arena where you're victorious. Our arena is the arena of faith. That's where we're victorious at. That's why the devil wants to get us out of there. He wants to keep us from trusting God. He wants us to lean on our own understanding, to try to figure it all out, to try to mentally put it all together. God didn't give us our mind to figure out spiritual things. He gave us our mind to help us in this natural world. Amen. He gave us our spirit man to connect with God. Amen. And so we have to understand that. Now, how many know that the Bible tells us many are the blessings of the righteous? See, so you know, that's not that scripture, is it? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them. How many of them? All of them. So, I don't mean we live a whole life full of trials, you know, but gosh, if 10% of your life is trials, that's too much for me. How about you? 1% is too much. I mean, like 0.00000 half. That's good enough. But how many understand there's an element there that we have to understand, that we have to stay on God's side when we don't understand. Why isn't this coming to pass? Why stay on God's side? Amen. Brother Hagin used to say, he said, some things we cry about today, we'll shout about later. Well, I mean, some things we think we really wanted and we cry about, he said, later on we'll shout because we didn't get them. Because they weren't good for us. Amen. You know, kids are like that. How many know kids are, that's part of growing up being mature. When you're a kid, you don't always know what's good for you. See, we have such a warped society. It's like, let your kids do whatever they want to. That's called brat. One guy said, you know, all these things they've diagnosed that kids can have today, you know, all the, they got numbers or letters, well, you know, CCC, BMW, KFC, you know what I'm saying? They got a plethora of things that, you know. He said, in our day, we spelled it B-R-A-T. It's funny how quick my dad could fix some of those letters in your life. He could, you know. Yeah, I got an F in citizenship one time. He fixed it. Bless the Lord, I think I got a B the next time. That's better. Dad fixed that F in citizenship. They were about ready to remove my membership card from the human race. Fifth grade teacher said, now I'm not making this up. One of the teachers in fifth grade told me I was going to turn out to be like Adolf Hitler. He missed it. False prophet. He did. I'm not making this up. He said, you're going to turn out to be like Adolf Hitler. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad God got a hold of me. I still don't believe I'd have been that bad. God. All right. Now, so here, you know, Job, he doesn't know what's going on, but he stays on God's side, right? Look at Isaiah chapter 50. He doesn't get offended at God. Amen? See, sometimes when things aren't going right, you know, it's easy for people to get offended at God. And you need to stay on God's side and trust Him. I said trust Him. Put your faith in Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Why? Because God is good all the time. And He always does the right thing. You'll never find God saying, you know, I probably shouldn't have done it that way. If I could do that over again. No, we do that, but not God. How many know that? God never is like, I wish I'd have done that. He always does it right the first time. Amen. Amen. Now, look at Isaiah 50. And I want you to read one verse with me. Isaiah 50. Who among you, who is among you that fears the Lord? Do I got anybody here tonight fears the Lord? Right, and obeys the voice of his servant. I got any obedient people here? Amen. But notice he says, that walks in darkness and has no light. Now, see, that doesn't sound right. You fear God, you obey his voice, and you're walking in darkness and have no light. Well, how many know sometimes you don't know what's going on, right? Is that right? Sometimes you don't know what's going on. What are you supposed to do in those times when you don't know what's going on? Well, here he tells us, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let him stay or lean upon his God. That just tells me there's going to be times. See, people need to know this. There's going to be times in life when we don't understand everything, but let's stay on God's side. There's people that have died I've prayed for. I don't understand why they died, but listen, I'm staying on God's side.
Amen.
I'm staying on the true side, right? I mean, I've had people I've prayed for that died, you know, and I mean, why in the world did they die? Well, listen, it isn't necessarily my business to know, right? My business is to do what the Bible says, lay hands on the sick. My business is to believe the promises of God. My business isn't to figure out, well, why did this one die? I mean, he was a great man of God. She was a great woman of God. Why did they die? I don't know. You'll have to ask God. And he may not tell you, probably won't. But I'm going to stay on God's side. I'm not going to blame God for it. And I'm not going to say the promises of God didn't work. I'm going to stay on God's side. I'm going to trust God. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song years ago, Pentecost, we'll understand it better by and by. Remember that? Well, you know, there was a lot of truth in that because, you know, Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly, dimly. We don't see everything. Amen. We don't see everything. See, I've told you a story about a guy one time that I was praying for. You know, he had an accident. And, this guy before, let me just give you a little background about his background, was he had given his life to Jesus Christ and had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I don't know how many times he'd been in and out of church. He'd backslide. You know what I'm saying? He'd go back out into the world and then come back to God and then go back out in the world. Now he's back out in the world, you know, and he has a wreck on his motorcycle. He's been drinking and he is in the hospital and he is dying. And so I pray for him. And, he looks like everything's turning around. He's going to get better. It's going to change. He's going to, you know, all right, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then one day I get a call and find out, he's going downhill. He's going down fast, and he died before I ever even got over there. He's dead. And so, you know, it kind of puzzled me. Like, God, why did he die? This time the Lord told me. Now, the Lord doesn't have to tell you. How many know that? He didn't have to let you know. No, he said he told you. Well, he didn't speak audibly to me, but I just heard this in my heart that the Lord said this to me in my spirit. I heard it just as plain as if somebody would have said it audibly. He said he had gotten his life right with me again, you know, after he wrecked and all, because one of the guys that was over there said he wanted a preacher, which, you know. And of course, he had enough sense to know you didn't have to have a preacher to get right with God. He knew that much about it. But he wanted a preacher to come pray with him. And so he'd gotten right back with God, and then he died. And it's like, why did this happen? And the Lord said, because if he had lived, he would have just went back out in the world. Amen. And so, come on, I'm just preaching to you. I hope you get this, because you can live on whatever level you want to. I'm going to live on a higher level. Now he died. Now listen, he died, and the Lord said, if he had lived, he would have went back out in the world. See, and that meant he possibly could have died and went to hell. He's ready to go. It's the best time for him to go. Now that was not what God wanted. That's what he dealt up. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That wasn't God. That was his choice. If he had just kept himself straight, he could have lived to be an old man. Come on, is anybody with me? Right? Amen. So like Brother Hagin said one time, you know, he was preaching for this pastor and staying in his house with him and his wife. They were putting Brother Hagin up, and her I think it was her brother that had cancer and only had 6 months to live. And they asked Brother Hagin, said, would you pray for him? He said, well, certainly I will. So he went to pray for him. He said, I had my eyes closed, laid my hand on his head. He said, I felt like a physical hand lift my hand off his head. And he thought the guy did. He thought, well, maybe I'm pushing too hard. So he did it again. And he said, I felt that again. He said, this time I kept my eyes open and watched. And he said, I didn't see anybody. He said, but I could just feel like a physical hand lifted my hand off this guy's head. And Brother Hagin said, I didn't say it that loud, but inside I'm saying, Lord, what is this? And the Lord said to him, he said, this guy has not lived over 2 weeks at a time right for me. He's backslidden. He's gotten in sin. He can't stay right 2 weeks at a time. And the Lord said, I even healed him one time when he was living in adultery of a back issue. Well, Brother Hagin didn't know any of this, you know. So, you know, he said, he's right with me. He's got his affairs in order. Now is the best time for him to die. Right now. And so Brother Hagin just prayed, you know, how sometimes us preachers will do, we'll just pray one of those general, you know, feel-good prayers. Oh, God bless him. Oh, hallelujah. Get Jesus. You know. And so, you know, then a little bit later, the guy's sister says, did you pray for my brother? Yeah. Did the Lord say anything to you? Well, who wants to tell her that? You know. He said, well, he did. He said, the Lord told me your brother hasn't lived right over 2 weeks at a time and that God healed him when he was living in adultery. She says, that's exactly right. He did. And the Lord said, he's going to die. Now, he had 6 months to live, but 3 days later, he was in heaven. Now, I always like what Brother Hagin said. That wasn't God's best. But it sure do be going to hell. See, sometimes people forfeit the best God's had for them. You know what I'm saying? But if you go to heaven, how many know it's all going to be well, right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I always say this about health food. You know, if eating all that bird seed gives you 10 more years of life, I'll go to heaven. 10 years early, I'll check out. I'd rather be in heaven anyway than eating that stuff. Hallelujah! Now, that's just me. You don't have to live that way. I'm just talking about me, all right? Yeah, all right. So, listen. Here in Isaiah, Isaiah said, is there anybody who fears the Lord? Is there anybody that obeys him, but yet they're in darkness and have no light? Let them trust in the Lord. You don't know what's going on. Trust in the Lord. If you truly trust in him, he's going to make it work out for your good. Amen? And he's going to do what's right. See? Trust in the Lord. Just that's will you trust in the name of the Lord? What's the name of the Lord? Maybe we talked about it Sunday morning. Jehovah Jireh, right? Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Just trust in the Lord. He's going to work it all out. See, here's the thing about faith. Faith is based on the promises of God. But trust is based a lot on the character of God. Faith, we know what God said. Faith cometh by what? Hearing and hearing by the word of God. But trust many times is I don't know what's going on, but I know God's good. And I know he's going to work it out. And I know I'm going to come out with the goodness of God in my life. See, that's trust, because you don't always know what's going on. Amen. Let's go finally. Did you get something tonight? Finally to Psalm 37. We'll close here tonight. Psalm 37. It's just really important that we have this trusting in the Lord down. You know, that we just, even when we don't know everything that's going on, like our foundational scripture said, don't lean to your own understanding. You can't always figure it all out. And some things you may not figure out in this life. Amen. There are people that have died early, I thought. You know, went to heaven. I don't understand why they did. I don't understand. Why did Paul leave somebody sick? Miletus sick. See, people will use that to say, well, see, God doesn't heal everybody. No, that is already a settled fact. Jesus healed them all. Well, why did Paul leave? Because Paul's not the healer. Jesus Christ is the healer. I don't know. I don't know that God's going to tell us. But it doesn't do away with healing. Hello? Doesn't do away with healing? I've left a lot of people sick in a lot of cities. I've left a lot of people unsaved in a lot of cities. But doesn't do away with salvation. For whatever reason. Miletus was, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about his character or anything like that. I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know. And you know what? I'm okay with not knowing. A lot of people just aren't okay with not knowing. I'm okay with not knowing. I'm okay being wrong. How about you? I've learned so many times, you know, I got a Phyllis a Valentine's Day card, and I think one of the lines in it said, you know, that whenever we disagree, usually you're right. Huh? Did you get a card? Huh? You got a card like that? You know, the only thing about me is I really believe it. It's been proven to me too many times. It's like, I'll say, well, that was red. No, it wasn't, honey. It was blue. No, it wasn't red. They'll take a look. Oh, well, that's blue. Well, it's kind of bluish red, you know. And we got to have some compromise here. How many know that God is always right, right? And so everything, all his works are good, right? Everything he does is perfect. Amen. And so if we don't always understand something, just trust God, trust the Lord. Hallelujah. He's got me covered. Amen. Amen. See, I've had things in my life I don't understand. Why isn't this moved yet? Why isn't this gone yet? Why isn't this left yet? I've been speaking to it for 2 years. Why isn't it gone yet? I don't know, but I know God's good. And I'm not giving up on his word or his promises. Amen. I'm going to stick with it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, why don't I have this or yet? Well, I don't know, but just keep trust. When you don't know, trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. Look at this, Psalm 37. We're going to close right here. The Bible says, verse 3, trust in the Lord. Everybody say, trust in the Lord. Notice this, and do good. How many know we need to do good, right? So shall you dwell in the land. And the King James says, verily you shall be fed, or truly you'll be fed. Or the New King James says, you'll feed on his faithfulness. Right? And that's a good word there. You'll feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. How many know you got to put your delight in him? He's got to be the delight of your life, right? You know, man, if I could just get this or I could just get that, you know, amen. You know, people say, well, if I could just get married, and then they get married, if I could just get unmarried, and, you know, could find a way in the will of the Lord to get unmarried. No, I don't feel that way, but some people do, all right? Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, it's Valentine's Day. I forgot all about that. We got to change our message and preach on love. What are we doing here? That's clipped my mind. Delight yourself, verse 4, also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. How many know that if you delight in the Lord, how many of the desires of your heart are going to be good? They're going to be right, see. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. See, notice the word commit. You got to be committed, right? Paul said, I know that he's able to keep that which I have committed. See, you got to have it committed. Committed. I commit my way to you. Right? You're believing, you know, let's say you're believing for a spouse. So you're just committed to the Lord. Trust in him. You know? And he'll bring it to pass. Praise God. And one lady told me one time, I'll never forget this, I never have gotten such an honest response from a person in all of my life. She was not married, and she was talking. She said, do you know why I'm not married? Well, no, I don't know why you're not married. And she said, I'm going to tell you why I'm not married, you know, was the lady. Because I went to the Lord, and I asked him, Lord, why aren't I married? And the Lord said, because nobody could live with you. That's what she told me. Well, that's a good reason not to be married then, because that means divorced. Nobody can live with you. But I appreciate your honesty, sister. Amen. And now notice this. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. How many know he'll bring it to pass? Amen. If you commit it, you trust him, he'll bring it to pass. Amen. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment or your justice as the noonday. How many know he'll make sure you get what's coming to you, right? He'll justify you. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. How many know sometimes you got to wait patiently? Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You know, how many know sometimes the devil will try to get you to look at other people. Well, look what they've got. That happened to me one time years ago. I'm talking about the 1990s, early 90s, something like that. A lot of my friends were doing some things in the ministry that I wanted to do but wasn't doing them yet. And I'm on my way to preach somewhere, and I don't know, Phyllis was driving that morning for some reason. I don't know why, because I was just looking at my Bible. Not that she can't drive, but it's just I wanted to pray for the meetings instead of for her protection. But anyway, praise God. No, I'm teasing. Now. Oh, man. I'm the guy that ran 3 red lights in a row. Really, I did. I ran a red light. She's getting on me. I ran another one. And she's getting on me for running two, and I ran another one. Keep this up, sister. You're going to kill us all. Now, anyway, let's close out. I was going to this meeting, and I started talking to the Lord. I said, now, Lord, why are they doing that? I've been in the ministry longer than them. Why aren't I doing that yet in ministry? And the Lord said, I want you to go home. You know, when the Lord tells you to do something, you're about to learn something, right? The Lord said, I want you, when you go home, I want you to study the scripture in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, we shall reap in due season if we faint not. And when I went home and I studied that scripture, I found out that due season meant something like personal, private, proper time. God said, I've got a personal, private, proper time for you to reap, for them to reap, and it isn't any of your business when they reap and, you know, it's none of your business. You just obey me, right? Remember that? Remember that Jesus, you know, told Peter how he was going to die? After he was resurrected from the dead, he appears to his disciples. He tells him how he's going to die, and Peter doesn't like it. He looks at John and says, what about this man? Remember that? And Jesus said, if I want him to live till I come, what is that to you? Modern English, what business is that of yours? You follow me. Don't you be concerned about John. You just do what I tell you to do. That's good enough, isn't it? And see, that's what the psalmist said. Don't fret because, well, you know, this has happened to them and it's not happening to me. Don't fret about it. Rest in the Lord. Trust in Him. Wait patiently for Him. He'll bring everything, every good thing that you need into your life. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Thank God for His Word tonight. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.